Well, good morning. I can't see you. No, I had some eye surgery done. Boy, turn me down a little bit, please. I had some eye surgery done today or last week, and cataract done, and I finally realized there are stop signs now that I can see from a distance. I couldn't see them before. But I can't see anything up close, so I bought this pair of cheaters from Walmart's, and they work up close, but I have no idea who's out there now. We've been talking about change the last few weeks, and this will be the last week that we're working with our series. Next week, Jeremy's going to be preaching, and I'm looking forward to that. But change has been a big part of our lives. From the time we were born to today, all of us change. And I want to read a story out of Exodus this morning that talks about how the Israelites found change. Well, just let me read it to you. It'll be up on the screen, I believe. But it's found in Exodus chapter 14. And I'm going to begin with verse 10. When Pharaoh drew near, the people of Israel lifted up their eyes and beheld, the Egyptians were marching after them, and they feared greatly. And the people of Israel cried out to the Lord. They said to Moses, "Is it because there are no graves in Egypt that you have taken us away to die in the wilderness? What have you done to us in bringing us out of Egypt? Is not this what we said to you in Egypt? Leave us alone that we may serve the Egyptians. For it would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the wilderness." And Moses said to his people, "Fear not, stand firm. See the salvation of the Lord, which he will work for you today. And the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall never see again. The Lord will fight for you, and you only have to be silent." The Lord said to Moses, "Why do you cry to me? Tell the people of Israel to go forward. Lift up your staff and stretch out your hand over the sea and divide it, that the people of Israel may go through the sea on dry land. And I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians so that they shall go in after them. And I will get glory over Pharaoh and all his hosts, his chariots, his horsemen. And the Egyptians shall not know or shall know that I am the Lord when I have gotten glory over Pharaoh, his chariots, and his horsemen." Then the angel of God, who was going before the host of Israel, moved in and went behind them. And the pillar of cloud moved from before them and stood behind them, coming behind the host of Egypt and the host of Israel. And there was the cloud of the darkness. And it lit up the night without one coming near the other all night long. Would you pray with me? Father, as we read this passage, we see a miracle happening. That you took care of your people. And Father, I'm very confident today that you take care of us, your people. Your word tells us you're the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. God, I believe that. I believe that with all my heart. So as we search the scriptures this morning, looking at this story of how the Israelites got free from the slavery, the bondage of the Egyptians, I pray that you will put some truths in our hearts. Allow us to see how you can work in our lives, how we can truly see that the battle is yours. And we'll give you praise in the name of Jesus. Amen. Have you ever heard of the expression that you were caught between a rock and a hard place? Do you know that expression? Okay. Do you know where that idiom came from? I love to find out where things come from. The internet tells me, and of course we know the internet is truth, that this expression started back in the early 1900s in Bisbee, Arizona, when copper miners were going on strike from the mine company, and they were literally caught between a rock and a hard place. They could either stay on strike, and that would be their rock, or they could go back and work for the miners under the same working condition. That would be their hard place. And then during the 1930s, when the Great Depression was on, that phrase came up again when so many people were out of work. They were caught between a rock and a hard place. They were stuck. They couldn't go forward. They couldn't move back. And you know, sometimes that expression applies to us. We think we have no way out. We can't move forward. We can't move back. We just have no idea where to go. And I think our text this morning gives us a great example using the people of Israel. They were physically hemmed in. They got out of Egypt and they went to the shore of the Red Sea. And right behind them was this humongous army chasing them, wanting to kill them. So their dilemma was more than physical. It really was more than geographical because of the sea. It was spiritual. It was emotional. And they were challenged by it. They were literally caught between a rock and a hard place. And fear came into their hearts and uncertainty. You ever feel that way? They were paralyzed by fear. And man, sometimes I think I'm there too. They would either have to put their faith in God or be killed. What would they do? The Israelites were on the shore. They couldn't go forward because of the sea. They couldn't go backwards because of this great army. And you know what? There are times in our lives when we're paralyzed by that fear as well. There are some times when we're just so paralyzed, we don't know whether to move forward or sideways or backwards or anyways. But God gave us the answer through these scriptures. He told the Christians, the Egyptians, actually the Israelites, and he's telling us today as Christians, move forward in faith. When the enemy is drawing near, he's telling us to move forward in faith by putting our trust in the Lord. Some of you might be here today feeling like the children of Israel. Our pastor's gone. You have a lot of questions. We have no idea where the church is going, how we're going to get there. Well, I think the passage that we read in Exodus this morning gives us some answers, gives us some direction. Because first it tells us to move forward in faith when the enemy is drawing near. Satan would love nothing more than to paralyze us, to bring doubt and fear into our hearts. But when we move forward in fear, looking to God for the answers, relying on Him, putting our faith in Him. So after God sent the 10th plague to the Egyptians, do you remember what the 10th plague was? that every firstborn should be put to death. He brought Moses and Aaron to Pharaoh, and Pharaoh basically said, get out of my country and take your people with you. So they did. They fled Egypt, all 2 million of them. Can you imagine that? We've got, what, 100,000 in South Bend? 200,000 maybe between South Bend and Elkhart? I don't know. Multiply that 10, 20 times? I can't imagine that number of people. But when Pharaoh realized that he had just lost his resident slave force, his workforce, he had a change of heart. He got his army together and started chasing the Israelites. And when they caught up to them, they were right at the shore of the Red Sea. Look at what verse 10 says, the beginning of it says. When Pharaoh drew near, the people of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians were marching after them. Can you imagine that? Here these guys are at this water. Nowhere to go, there's no bridge. They can't make rafts. There's no time because the army is coming up on them. They look back and they see all the dust of the horses and the chariots. And they're paralyzed by fear. They were terrified, Moses says. They were terrified. Do you ever get that way? Are there times when you feel like the enemy is just closing in on you and you have nowhere to go? You're outflanked. There's just no way out. Maybe you're struggling with a particular sin and you turn around and that temptation is there. You feel trapped. You want to go forward, but you can't. Kind of has you paralyzed. And you're thinking, God, what's going to happen to me? Is there any way out of this? Well, the Apostle Paul in chapter 7 of Romans says this in verse 24. Who will rescue me from the body of death? Who will rescue you from the body of death? God! Or maybe you're feeling by some other circumstances of life. You're working a dead-end job. Any promotions that come are only sideways. You never get a raise. There's no other options. Maybe your health is deteriorating. The doctor says there's nothing you can do. Where do you turn? Maybe you're in debt. Then you go out to the mailbox and, oh no, there's another bill. What do you do? Folks, you feel trapped. I've been there. I know what it feels like. You realize that our world is becoming more and more non-Christian. In fact, we realize that the world is becoming more and more anti-Christian. And you cry out to God, God, what am I supposed to do? Do like Moses. God said to Moses, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Stand firm. Put your trust in me. In other words, God's telling us, don't fret, don't worry, don't complain. Because as Moses puts it, and folks, here's the key point I want you to get. Remember I told you each week I'll give you a key point, then you can go to sleep. But here's the key point. The battle is God's. The battle is the Lord's. We don't have to fight it. He's already done it. God promises that promises his people that he's not only going to protect us by the blood of Christ, he's going to fight our battles for us. Isn't that what happened first in our text? He protected his people. Did you catch that part of the text? Let me read it again. Exodus 14, verses 19 through 20. Then the angel of God who was going before the host of Israel moved and went behind them. And the pillar of cloud moved from before them and stood behind them, coming between the host of Egypt and the host of Israel. And there was a cloud and there was darkness. And it lifted up the night without one coming near the other all night. Can you picture that? There's this massive thunderhead coming in. I used to love to go over to Lake Michigan and watch these massive thunderheads come in. But on one side it produced darkness. So those chariots and Egyptian soldiers were blinded, basically. But then at the Red Sea, it opened it up for light. God not only protected Israel from their enemies, he actually fought the fight for them. And after the entire nation of Israel traveled to the bottom of the sea and made it to the other side, what did God do? He had Moses once again lift up his staff, stretch out his hand, and the water flowed back. And what happened to these soldiers? They're gone. They're dead. I don't know if there are 2, 3, 4, 5, 10,000 of them. I have no idea. But they're all gone. God took care of them. Not one of them, the Bible tells us, survived. Can you imagine that? That very army that struck fear into the hearts of the Israelites were swooped away by God. God fought the battle and won. My friends, isn't God doing the same thing for us today? God has fought the battle for us. He has defeated the enemy by the cross of Calvary. And if you're a believer today, by the blood of Jesus, forgiving your sins, we've won. We've won. He has delivered us over the fear of death. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14 puts it this way. Since therefore the children spare the flesh and blood, he himself likewise partook of the same things, that through death he might destroy the one who has power, the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver all those who fear the death were subject to lifelong slavery. Do you realize how powerful that is to be set free from the fear of death? And for those of you who have Jesus, have accepted the Lord Jesus as your Savior, have a personal relationship with Him, we don't have the fear of death. Oh, we'll die, we'll leave this earth. But we're only here for a moment. We have all eternity to live. And just to know that nothing can separate you from the power of God's love. Wow. We have all these mass shootings. Last week was a terrible week. But that can't separate us. Hurricanes come and go. Leave you homeless. That can't separate us. Maybe you lose a job or you're diagnosed with cancer. I've been both those places. That didn't separate me from God. Folks, nothing can change the fact that God has redeemed you, bought you with His blood, and now He turns even our death into nothing but an entrance into heaven. And that was the case for the children of Israel. I can't imagine what they thought when they got to this body of water. I'm having a new experience with stop signs. I can now read street signs. Couldn't do it before. I have one of these smart cars that if you come up on somebody, it stops for you. I love that. Or if you go out of a lane, it tells you, you know, it makes a noise. But now I can actually see where I'm going. But can you imagine the children of Israel? Moses is leading them out, and they get to this body of water. Let's call it Lake Michigan. Now, all of you have been to Lake Michigan. And you want to cross from New Buffalo over to Chicago. Why Chicago? I don't know. You can't just drive your car. You can't just get out and walk. But God, in one swoop, just parted it. Can you imagine what a miracle that was? It was dry land. These folks had carts, and they had different things that they were carrying. Just the weight of muddy clothes and packs on their back probably would have sunk them. But it was dry land. I read a book one time where the first person who stepped into Lake Michigan or Dead Sea, the water just went on before him and opened up. I don't know how it happened, but God did it. Why? Because they took baby steps of faith. They didn't just take one swell swoop and they were on from one side to the other. No, they took little bitty baby steps. And folks, that's what we need to do. We need to take baby steps and put our trust in God for the process that we're going through right now. We need to put our trust in the Lord. When the children of Israel faced this major obstacle, they put their trust in God. And that's what we need to do. As a congregation of believers, as we think about the challenge we face as a congregation of finding a new senior pastor, and that's no small task. Because I'll tell you, as our search firm goes through these interviews and so forth, they're going to be inundated with interviews from everybody with 25 PhDs to somebody from a degree from Bob's Barber College. It's just amazing what's out there. I've been through the process. Besides, Bob's a friend of mine. But we have Jesus, and He'll get us through it. And all I'm asking you is to do is pray. Pray. Stay faithful to the church, the body. And watch how we come through with flying colors. The idea of Trinity Church seeking out and searching for a new pastor can be more than daunting to us. We may feel like, Lord, are we going to make it? And the answer is yes. Because God has given this church a very gifted staff. God has gifted this church a very loving and devoted elders board. God has gifted this church a pastoral search committee. Can you believe it? They pray. Yeah, they really do. They pray. They're seeking God's face. And we're going to trust God by taking little bitty baby steps. It might take 6 months. It might take more than that. I don't know. Whatever period of time it takes, I'm asking you to stick with it. Because when we come out of it, just like the children of Israel, we're going to be on the other side. And what's in store for us is exciting. It's exciting. I can't wait. So we need to ask God, are we putting our trust in Him or are we putting our trust in ourselves? And that's really been the theme of this change series. Are we trusting Him or are we trusting ourselves? Well, if you're anything like me, so often I trust myself. And then when I hit that brick wall, like John Cena, you can't see me? I trust God. I should be trusting God first. I'd cut out a whole lot of heartache. Trusting the Red Sea gave the children of Israel a way to put their trust in God. Just as many of you have put your trust in Him. As we close, let me read you Exodus chapter 14, verse 30. It says, "Thus the Lord saved Israel that day from the hands of the Egyptians. And Israel saw the Egyptians dead on the seashore. That day the Lord saved Israel." And like I said, I don't know if there were 10,000, 5,000, 2,000, but there was a bunch of dead bodies. Drowned. Because the battle was God's. So we need to take a step of faith. We need to put our faith in Him because He's the only one that we can put our faith in. We don't need to be paralyzed by fear, but rather because of the God we have, the one who has created us, the one who has redeemed us and preserves us, can together move us as a church forward in faith. Would you pray with me?